Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you bring your Bibles?
Yeah, amen.
Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 35 through 39. And I've entitled this evening's message, "We Are More Than Conquerors." More than conquerors. Before we get started in the scriptures, I want to encourage those who are watching on YouTube and Facebook. We welcome you this evening. We hope you enjoyed the worship. We hope that you will enjoy this message. But I want to encourage you, those who are watching and those who are here, that the scriptures we're about to expound is going to edify us, to build us up, to show us that there is a lively hope, the hope of Christ, that God has conquered all things, that God has defeated the devil. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And we're going to see that there is nothing that will be able to separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
And so as we get into this Bible study tonight, whatever you're going through right now, I'm praying that you would receive this word, and that the Word of God will come alive in you. That it would be powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. And so that is my cry tonight. That is my petition tonight, that you would receive this message that God, hallelujah, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Here we go. Let's read verses 35 through 39. And it reads, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as a sheep for the slaughter." Look at this in verse 37. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And then it goes on in verse 38. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." How many of you believe that? How many believe that God has written this down for our sake, for us, that we could uphold and embrace the Word of God and receive and believe that these words are for today? So let's break this down and allow the Holy Ghost to have his way. Let's go back to verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Sword meaning even death. And so, saints, the next questions help seal our assurance in Christ, in God. Nothing, say that with me, nothing, say the word, nothing can separate us from Christ's love for us. Nothing could ever do that. And then Paul lists several situations we might think that could come between us and God. But Paul knew, saints of God, from experience, that these could not separate believers from God. Can I get an amen? He had already experienced them. Paul experienced many things. And we find this in the Word of God. Look what he wrote in 2 Corinthians. And we see that these things, even though he went through those things, could never separate him from the love of God. Let's go there. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 11:23. Are they ministers of Christ? And then he wrote, I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. Well, thanks for the consolation. I got 39. minus one. 40 stripes minus one. Just the first one was a welt. Look at verse 25 here. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Rod is a steel bar. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. His own countrymen came against him. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils amongst false brethren. What? False brethren? These were wannabe people. You thought they were saved, and they were not. Look at verse 27. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all is what? The churches. That's all that mattered. That's all that mattered, saints of God. That's all that mattered. All these things could not separate him from the love of God. Because Christ, hallelujah, did you know that Paul forsook, when he was Saul of Tarsus, he was the Hebrew of all Hebrews. He was the attorney of the day. The man had all these accolades and all these things he achieved as the chief rabbi from the line of Benjamin. This guy had it all. Yet, he counted all as what? Dung. When he received Christ. All that stuff went out the window. Now all he wanted to be was like Christ. And that's what we should be, right? Once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we should have the same tenacity to chase after the Lord, to be like Paul, to be like the examples of the apostles and the disciples, to chase after God. You know, when we gather here on a Wednesday night and Sunday mornings, I look into the audience and I see hungry eyes. Eyes that are hungering for the Word of God. And yet, in all churches right now, there's an apostasy that's taking place. People are falling away, left and right. But when I see you, it brings me great joy that has not affected you. Can I get amen? The love of God is in you. The love of God, hallelujah, basically operates in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. There's an activation that has taken place through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're ongoing. Praise God. You guys are like the energizing bunny. You just keep on going. Praise God. You don't have to get wound up. You go on automatic pilot. Why? Because it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. And so, saints, this means that the love of Christ doesn't separate us from experiences like we just read that Paul went through, or even the experiences you have gone through. How many of you have gone through some things since you've been saved? I'm talking after salvation. Oh, yes. We've all gone through, huh? We're not exempt from trials and tribulations. We're not exempt from going through. Sometimes they are horrific things that we have to go through. I think one of the toughest things is learning how to walk with Christ with our whole heart. Because the world has a pull on us. You see, the culture wants to separate you. The culture wants to pull you away from your call. And once the enemy can get into your crawl and start pulling you from your call, you will eventually become lukewarm. It sets in. But when you're in the fire, look at it like this. Those of you that have maybe those little small hibachis at home, and you put a whole bunch of charcoal, you light it with lighter fluid, you light it up, and then it's just burning with coal, and it has a almost a goldish look to it. But if you take one charcoal out and set it aside, that one little charcoal will become cool and then cold, and then it's useless. It's just sitting there. But if you throw it back into the fire, it'll be used again, right? Well, that's the same way I look at us as Christians. If we stay in the fire, if we stay together, God will use us mightily. But if we stray away and we're not in fellowship, we're not in Bible study, we don't come out to prayer, I can rest assured you're only going to go so far on your own strength. And then you will get cold. And then you will not desire the things of God. That's how he creeps in. He takes a little bit away every day. He chips at you. And the next thing you know, wow, I remember I used to come out to all the prayer meetings. I remember I used to come out to Wednesday nights. I remember not missing Sundays. And then now it's hit and miss. Oh, there's other things I got to do. Well, that's because the enemy doesn't want you to be on fire for God. You know why? Because if you're on fire for God, you will be an asset to the kingdom of God. You will be used mightily by the Lord. You will win many souls and pray for many people when you're on fire for God. Can I get an amen? So now, let's move on to verse 36 in Romans chapter 8. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Saints, the Apostle Paul, he quotes from the book of Psalms to remind the believers that people who trust in God must expect to face persecution, even death. Did you know that there's people in China, in Iran, and North Korea? They kill them right away once they find out that you're part of an underground church. Oh, yeah. Look what it says in Psalms. This is where he got this. Yet for your sake, look at this, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise. Do not cast us. What? Off forever. Don't cast us. Look at verse 24. Why do you hide your face and forget your affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help. And redeem us for your mercy's sake. See, this is where sometimes when we get to that place, we need to cry aloud. We need to cry out to God. Why? Because he's the only one that could restore us. He's the only one that could strengthen us. He's the only one that could light our fire again. And so in that psalm, the The poets made the specific point that difficulties and suffering were coming to people who had been faithful, even the faithful ones. You could be faithful throughout your whole walk, and yet tribulation still comes. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It will still come. Believers who suffer are the rule, not the exception. Look what I found in 1 Peter up here to prove this point. Look at this. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Look at that. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are blessed. Even if you suffer, you are blessed for righteousness' sake. Look at this. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Verse 15, but sanctify. Look at this, the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let me pause before we go to verse 16 in this. But look what it says. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. What does that mean? That means allow God to fully be on the heart, the throne of your heart. Let him consume you. Let him be your all in all. Let him be your breath. Let him be your mind, your heart. We should be consumed by him. Because when you're consumed by God, guess what? You'll be ready to give anyone an answer to the hope that lies within us. But people that are cold, lukewarm, that, you know, you rarely see them, if someone were to ask them things of God, they'd be stumbling. They wouldn't know what to say. They couldn't find anything because God's not stirring up their heart. He's not dwelling there fully, like we're reading here. Now, let's go back to this. Look. In verse 16, look at this. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be what? Ashamed. God will put them ashamed. For it is better, look at this, if it will be the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You catch that? Continue. Continue, saints, to do good. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Continue to live for God. Continue to live and do the good things. Be holy for God. Are we going to fail sometimes? Yes. But you don't stay there. You get up and you keep rolling. Can I get amen? Let's go on now to Romans 8:37, and it reads, yet in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors through him who loved us. So saints, instead of being separated from Christ through all these things, the trials and the hardships, we have overwhelming victory. How many are so blessed to know that? We got overwhelming victory because we trust in the Lord. This does not mean that we will be superheroes. No. But that our victory will be intensified by virtue of our union with Christ. It'll be established. And so, when I was studying this, and I was before the Lord, and I looked at this verse of scripture, that we are more than conquerors through Christ, I found 3 points that God downloaded in my mind. And let's look at the first point. Look at this. Number one, we are chosen. That's why we're conquerors, because we've been chosen by him. Listen, if he chose you, he will keep you. Hallelujah. We cannot keep him He keeps us.
Thank you, God.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
But he has to make a choice first. And once he chooses you, it's his obligation to keep you. Woo, thank you, God. I'm glad I left it up to God and not me.
Amen.
I think we'd be long gone already if it was up to us. Because our flesh don't want to live accordingly. But God keeps us. God convicts us. God empowers us. God strengthens us. It is God who does all that work in us and through us so that he can keep us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He has prepared the church for this very reason. Look what I found in Psalm 65. Look at this. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. And to you, the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. And as for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed, say that with me. Blessed is the man you choose. What? Blessed is the man who God chooses. Look at this. And cause what? To approach you. Listen, when he chose us, he allowed us to come to him. Before he chose us, we weren't going nowhere. I would have stayed in the clubs. Come on. I would have stayed with my friends, getting high. Oh, come on. I would still be doing the wrong things. I'll still be slinging dope. Oh, come on. But since he chose us, look at this. He allowed us to come to him. Wow. You got to catch this. Blessed is the man you chose or you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. Saints of God, we're in his presence. We're seated in heavenly places because of him. Oh, come on. Wednesday nights, I go way back. I would be in the Black Angus mixing it up. Come on, DJ so-and-so. Put on something to get me up. Oh, come on. I'm just telling you like it was. 9 o'clock, almost, what, 8 o'clock right now? We was just showering up to get ready to go on a Wednesday night to the Black Angus. Didn't get home until 3 a.m. Had to wake up, hungover, and go to work. Oh, come on. Okay, I'm sorry. None of you guys did that.
No.
Look at this. Look at this final verse right here. And we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. How many are so blessed to be in the house of God? How many are so blessed to have God living inside our house? Because we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And so we need to get a paradigm change, that because he chose us, he caused us to approach him, and now he has blessed us. Look what else Paul wrote here, because we are chosen. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, look at this. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I want you to catch this for a moment. Look at the people in government. Look at the people that are in power. Look at all these wealthy multi-billionaires throughout the land. I want you to see this, what I'm trying to make a point of. Let's go to verse 26 again. For you see your calling, brethren, that's our calling, that you may look, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. A lot of them are not called. But he chose us. He went through the highways and the byways. He went through the back alleys in National City, Chula Vista. He went to the ghetto. Oh, that's right. He went to the barrio ese. He went everywhere to find us. He didn't go to the governments. and the palaces? Look at the verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. When I first got saved, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I know who he is. How foolish can that be? Oh, he's just playing God. He's just using that as a crutch. Okay, can you still say that now? It's been 37 years. No, that thought they had back then has been long stamped out. Can I get an amen? Because it's God who saved us. We didn't save ourselves. God saved us. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Look at that. Okay, so who cares if we were doofuses in school? Who cares if we were Mr. and Miss Peabody? Who cares if we didn't have friends in high school? Who we were ostracized. We were shunned. Who cares? Because God saved us. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? Look at verse 28 right up here. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Woo! People used to hate my guts. My brother used to come visit me. You know we're watching you. Any day now, the cops are going to raid your house, take away your kids, and you're going to go to prison. Oh, yeah. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. I was despised because of the bad I was doing. Yeah, I was doing bad things. I wasn't proud of it. I didn't know any better. But God still chose me. Guess what? He still chose you. Amen. And look at this. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, we can't, there's nothing to glory in other than him. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify you for what you've done in our lives. See, the unbeliever can't do that. The unbeliever doesn't know how to defer, how to exalt God. See, they'll give each other awards and prestigious things, but they will never give God glory because they don't know how. But we do. We know how. Can I get amen? Amen? So, number one, we were chosen. And then the next point on that verse that we're still focusing on conquerors, number two, we are blessed. Raise your hand if you feel that you're blessed by God. Amen. We're blessed. Blessed, and we can't even sometimes comprehend it, especially when we're going through some. When we're suffering an affliction. When we're suffering a setback, when we miss the mark and we sin before God, and the enemy comes and tries to dupe your mind, and yet despite of all that, look what King David wrote right up here in Psalms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord means the word of God. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree, look at this, planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? God will prosper your life. You see, we may want something right now, but God says, I already got I'm already taking care of you, and I know what's best for you, and I will prosper you in my time. Amen. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And when he does it good.
Amen.
He does it well. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And then thirdly, my third point is this. Look at this. We are eternally his. So we're chosen, we are blessed, and we are eternally what?
His.
Come on, saints. Woo, thank you, God. And this should convince us that we are eternally his. Right here in John chapter 10. Look at this. My sheep, say that with me. My sheep. One more time. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them what? Temporal life. And I give them? About 80 years. I give them? Maybe 65. I give them what? Eternal life. And they shall what? Never. And what does never mean?
Never.
They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. How many people do you know that could snatch someone out of God's hand? You got the power to do that? You got the authority to do that? You know how to get as high where God is to do that? No. Impossible. So look what he says. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If you can't be convinced on that, and you feel like, wow, yeah, but God, I struggle here. Oh, God, you know what? You don't comprehend what God said about you. God will deliver you. God will strengthen you. But you got to believe who you are in Christ. You got to believe, number one, you're blessed, you're chosen, and you're eternally his. And if you have that in your heart, guess what? You'll be able to live that sanctified life toward him, because you will want to please him for what he's done for you. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's not about, oh, I have to do this. No, it's you should fall madly in love with him for what he's done for you. Can I get amen? Look at Ephesians. Paul wrote this to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 1:11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. There we go, back to the inheritance. Remember we touched on that about having a trust, a living trust. Look at this. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. It's all him that strums it all up. He's the one that sets the plan in place for your life, for my life. Look at this. According to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Not our glory, his glory. Look at verse 13. In him you also trusted, that after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, I need you to catch this part. It says, verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. In a nutshell, we still live in this body of flesh, but yet through faith, God saved our soul. He has washed us in the blood. He has filled us with the Holy Spirit of promise. So now we are saved. But look at this. It says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption? Meaning, God still has to transform us and redeem us from this body of corruption. So we're still living in this body of corruption. But when the redemption takes place, how is that going to take place? Because he purchased us. We're his purchased possession by the blood. He bought us by the blood. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And because of the blood, we are his. So we are his purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So this is why when he comes for us, we're going to be changed and we will be like him. And so where does the guarantee come from? From the trust that we have in him and the faith that we have in him, that we have received the Holy Ghost by faith. Hallelujah. Man, when I think about these things, I get so excited. You know why? Because I look at the stuff that we go through, the lack of funds, the health afflictions. I gotta run more, walk more, I gotta do all that more. We all go through these things. And as we get older, they become tougher. I'm not 30. When we were 30, man, we could just, let's go. Let's go do 3.5 miles around Bonita Golf Course. But as you get older, it gets tougher. It lets you know that when the new body comes, it'll be worth living for him. Can I get an amen? And God will redeem us. So let's move on to verse 38 in Romans chapter 8. Look at this. For I am persuaded. That means Paul was convinced. Convinced. Totally convinced. You couldn't shake him. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. You see, saints, you and I, we're secure in Christ. Paul was convinced of this. And so should we be too. Can I get amen? Nothing could ever separate us from God's love for you and for me. In both death and the trials of life in this evil world, we will be in God's presence immediately. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So even when that day comes, should he yet not come for all of us just yet? And I don't know how many I've buried in the last 2 years, done their celebration of life. As soon as they closed their eyes, the ones that were believers, they were in his presence right away. My dear brother, Frank Scott, who I came by his hospital bed about 4 or 5 months ago, said, Brother Fee, will you speak at my funeral? I said, you bet I will. You bet I will. And I held my promise. Because I had to. We had a ministry called Brothers in Christ. And we went out every Thursday. And we were planting seeds, praying for souls, watching them come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's still fruit from that ministry. And she's sitting right there. My beautiful wife. We came to her that one Thursday night. And so no spiritual forces such as angels or demons are powerful enough to undo what God has done for you and me. Isn't that a blessing to know? Because when the enemy comes, and he comes, when the enemy comes to buffet you, to afflict you, to accuse you, to slander you, I need you to go back to the scripture, because the scripture will defend you. Look what Isaiah 54 says right up here. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Woo! Look at this. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, but the Lord is faithful. Say that with me. The Lord is faithful. One more time. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. He's not going to let you get consumed. Praise God. Look what Solomon wrote in another one, Isaiah. Look at this. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God will strengthen us. God will watch over us. God will be with us. And then now in Proverbs 18:10, Solomon wrote this. The name of the Lord is a what? Strong tower. And the righteous run to it and are what? Safe. You see, when you come into a place like this, it's a safe place. Right? You're not in a back alley where someone's ready to mug you. We're in a safe place. You don't have to worry about the filth of the world to be here. This is a place that's going to honor God, that's going to exalt His name, that's going to bless the saints of God. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing in this sphere of our time itself, fears and worries, and just having that heavy heart can threaten us. Nothing that can happen in the present and nothing that could happen in the future, such as persecution and hardship, would cause God to leave us. And He won't. Did you know that God will never leave you? He'll see you through. And so we look at the last verse of Scripture found in Romans chapter 8. Which will conclude this chapter. It's found in verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to what? Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so, saints of God, no powers that exist, either Satan, human government, and the list goes on, none of them are more powerful than God. They can have no effect on our relationship with the Lord. Can I get an amen? Because God has given us His word. He has given us ammunition. And I close in these scriptures. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down what? You know, a stronghold is something that sometimes don't want to let go of you. I've heard some of your stories. Many of us have stories, things that were done to us when we were a child, things that we experienced as teenagers, things that you've experienced through maybe a first marriage, and the list goes on. And a lot of times a stronghold develops and you're plagued and you can't shake it. You know, I've always heard this, well, I'm this way, man, because I got molested when I was little, and I still have this heavy heart. That's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. But you can say, God, remove this from me. Because look at what it says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So once you become a believer, once you get filled with the Holy Ghost, now you can say, you know what? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. All these things that happened to me when I was younger, I cast it down. I pull it down. Now I'm a conqueror in Christ who strengthens me. Now I can walk in liberty. Now I can walk in freedom. For the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. I no longer have to be a slave to sin. I no longer have to be a slave to my past. Can I get an amen? Am I getting through on this? God has me on this for a reason tonight. We can be new creatures in Christ. All things that pass away. Behold, all things have what? Become new. Look at this in verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. One of the things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is our past. Things that has happened to us. Things that we have experienced. It could be drugs, alcohol, homosexuality. It could be pornography. It could be all kinds of manner of iniquity that we once entangled ourselves with. And it wants to exalt itself against God. It wants you to remember, oh, you remember these things. No, God is saying, cast them down now. This is not my life no more. This is not me no more. I'm a new creature. Say that with me. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature in Christ. Behold, say this with me. Behold, all things are new. And now I walk in the freedom of Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout. Give a shout of praise. Look at this. Casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, even our thought life, into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I think I shared this one verse on Sunday. I remember sharing this. You know how you punish disobedience? You learn to obey God. Once you learn to obey God, now I'm going to obey you, God. Guess what you did? You've punished disobedience. Because you can't do both of them at the same time. You either for them or against them, right? Hallelujah. See, nothing in space, from high above, or in the deepest ocean, can take us away from God's love. Isn't that something? Nothing in all creation can take us away from God's love, who thwart His purposes for us. Everything tries to pull you away from God, and nothing can. You see, my friends, Paul's point is simple and compelling. Once in his care, in God's care, it is impossible to be separated from Christ. Impossible. His death for us is proof of his unconquerable love. Nothing can stop his constant presence with us. It's always with us. God tells us how great his love is, so that we will feel totally secure in him and totally equipped for the battle that we are facing. How many believe that we are always in battles? Okay, so let me just say this. We're going to be in constant battles, but I need you to know that he's already won the war. A battle is not the end of the war. A battle is just something that takes place for a moment, and then the battle's either won or lost. But the war, he has already won. The war meaning he has defeated death, hell, and the grave. He's already defeated Satan. That's a future tense, and we're going to live in total bliss with him without having old slew foot around. How many can't wait for that? Amen. Huh? But until then, as we close, but until then, God has given us firearm equipment. He has what? Given us ammunition here on this earth to battle against the wicked one. And it's found right here in Ephesians. Look at this. In Ephesians 6:13, Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Look at verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, you got all this equipment. What are you supposed to do with it? How do you use that equipment? So you run down the street and start screaming? Is that what you're supposed to do with all the equipment on? Huh? Well, Paul follows it up with the next verse. So when you got all this on, he says what? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all the perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed in this chapter, knowing what God has done for us, knowing that He's for us, not against us, knowing that we are more than conquerors.
And we are equipped.
Yes, we are equipped. God didn't leave us on the battlefield naked. He's given us everything to battle the enemy till he comes. Amen?
Amen?
But I'm praying for those right now that have logged in. Maybe you haven't given your heart to Christ. Maybe this is your first or second time logging in. Well, guess what? This is your opportunity to surrender your life to Christ. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart that God died and rose again, He said, you'll be saved. So I want you to pray this simple prayer by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too may have eternal life like He has given all of us, and that God will also equip you regarding the evil day that we live in. So pray this prayer by faith. Just bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Is He worthy? Come on, is He worthy?
Worthy?
Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.
Hallelujah. We give you the praise.